All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 533 for Thursday, August the 24th, 1995. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and when I've been examining my bourbon budget, I'm not sure if it's too much or not enough. It's like you're spending a lot of money on bourbon, but are you buying good bourbon or just a lot of cheap bourbon? And you know what? It varies. So... back on the Devil's Cut this week. I don't know about you guys, but work. Anyways, we have a Fox. What's up, Fox?
Yep, I'm drinking a Bowmore Scotch.
Mm. We have a Madman. What's up, Madman?
Nothing much. Give me back my bullet. I'll put it back where it belongs.
All right, and we have an Are You?
Up. Oh. I learned a valuable lesson this week. Never, ever be happy. The world will just fuck you when it knows you're happy.
Oh, no. The thing is, you need to still be happy when you're being fucked.
I like to be kissed before I get fucked, Madman. Not just straight into the fucking. There's no foreplay.
Is this where you make the it's not rape joke? I mean, it's a... No?
Okay. Who knows? I've had better ones, let's just say that.
Duct tape turning no into mm.
Oh my god.
That's about right.
Remember,
I see you were paying attention in class.
Remember, kids, it's not just a sin, it's a felony. Anyways,
I'd say you know it's a good sin.
Anyways, it's like I hear that's what Japanese schools are like, right? You know, just lots of anyways. Well, continuing the low-key racism, why don't we go straight into the first story I picked out for tonight. It's from CNBC. India actually managed to land something on the moon for cheap.
Yeah, the southern polar region. Mm-hmm. They're looking for ice.
Yep. So, let's see how badly I butcher all the names in this story, right?
Oh, just already change them out with Vindaloo... chicken curry and marsala. Oh, and you got to keep a patel in there just because we need to piss somebody off in India.
As long as it comes with a side of naan, we're good. God.
Garlic naan. Oh.
Garlic naan is amazing. Mm-hmm.
It is.
The list is grim reading. Stuck, failed, missed. How do you fucking miss? The moon is massive. Failed.
Russia didn't miss. They hit it, that sucker, straight where it was supposed to go.
At
they just
speed.
Forgot to slow down.
Failed, stuck, failed, crashed, missed, crashed. Two missed. How do you fucking miss? It has a gravity well. That's like learning to fly. You know, you learn to throw yourself at the ground and miss.
That's how orbital mechanics work.
Yep, those are the fate of the Soviet Union's first 11 attempts before successfully landing a spacecraft on the moon, according to a database compiled by Jonathan McDowell, an astrophysicist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysicists who catalog space missions. Even in the modern era, with 9 lunar landing attempts since 2013, the track record is still shaky. Before India's success Wednesday, missions by China, India, Israel, Japan, and Russia were 3 for 8 in the past decade. And one of the reasons I was so interested in the story is I recently discovered, or maybe rediscovered, you know the United States has another lunar program going again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I had forgotten that. They're talking about manned missions in like a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 2025, they're talking about doing manned
things
missions.
Things that won't happen for 500, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think they'll happen, but you know what slowed them down? Finding the right mix of astronauts.
God damn it.
Yep. It's infected everything. That's why I said things that won't happen for 500.
So I think NASA's
there
calling
was
it...
the
oh, go ahead,
hire, and then suddenly they lost Voyager 2 for a while. not at all related.
It's a, Never mind. I'm just going to stop. McDowell's database showcases the monumental challenge undertaken by the 50 attempts to land on the moon, with a cheeky scoreboard that reads Earthlings 23, Gravity 27. Best summed up by Zap Brannigan, you win again, Gravity. India chalked up its first win against Gravity on Wednesday after the country's... Oh, good Lord, how do you say that? Chandrayaan 3 spacecraft safely landed on the lunar surface. The feat makes India the fourth country to successfully land on the moon and the first to touch down near the lunar south pole. Quote, they should feel very proud of this accomplishment, unquote, Jim Bridenstine, who led NASA as administrator from 2018 to 2021, told CNBC. Perhaps the most remarkable aspect of India's moon landing is the shoestring budget by government standards. Sorry, go ahead, Fox. You going to say something?
No, sorry.
Oh, okay. By government standards, in which the country achieved the mission. In 2020, the Indian Space Research Organization estimated the Chandrayaan 3 mission would cost about $75 million. The launch was delayed 2 years, which likely increased the overall mission's cost. ISRO has not responded to CNBC's request for an updated cost figure. Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you use Indian contractors, they always inflate the price at the end. I mean, is that a surprise to anybody?
Please do the people.
I mean, you... This is where you make bad jokes, right? Where it's like, well, we know what they were running on that lander, Jira. Sorry. Anyways,
are you though?
No, not really. I'm just saying that because you're supposed to say that. Isn't that like it's like a social faux pas?
I don't know, but do you think they had to have somebody else write the script so they could hit the go button?
Yeah, I wouldn't be fucking surprised. Well, you know what?
Now that we're done being evil.
You know what? Let me say, that's only been one particular company that's really been that bad. They use that company because they're cheap, but that's because the moment anyone who works for them learns something, they go get a better job somewhere else making better money. So, anyways. But that rivals the lowest cost lunar landing missions in development in the U.S. NASA in recent years turned to having companies compete for fixed price contracts to build moon landers under a program it calls the Commercial Lunar Payload Services. The CLPS program has a maximum budget of $2.6 billion over 10 years, with 14 companies vying for mission contracts, typically worth upwards of $70 million each. That's just for the lander. That's not the mission, that's the lander. Overall, NASA's annual budget dwarfs that of its Indian counterpart. In 2023, the U.S. agency received $25.4 billion in funding compared to the ISRO's budget of about $1.6 billion. Bridenstine stressed that NASA's much larger budget is a reflection of the different level of capability that the U.S. agency offers, with everything from a continuous astronaut presence in orbit to missions targeting planets, asteroids, and more. Again, if they had just called Space Force Starfleet, as a percentage of gross... Okay, you know what? Never mind. Point is, India just managed to land on the moon for what we pay for one of the robots we're trying to put on the moon. And one, awesome. I love seeing more of this. And two, does that mean we're going to be calling Indian tech support for our lunar landers?
Yes.
Okay, I might have done the entire story just to make that joke.
Worth it.
What was the capability? Do they list the capabilities of the lander they put there? Because putting something on the moon that's useless isn't awesome, even if it goes to the moon.
This story didn't really focus on what the lander could do, just that they got it there. Have you seen any other stories that actually talk about what its mission actually is?
No, I haven't yet. Most everyone's just currently excited that it landed without blowing up. For some reason, that's difficult, and I don't want to seem too callous on it, because it is amazing whenever we're moving anything forward to stellar flight. Because the big reason this is cool isn't because they landed something on the moon. It's because we can finally find out, is there something on the moon we can turn to rocket fuel to refuel some rockets and head to Mars?
In other words, is the moon made of cheese? And if not, oh, it's not. That's why we haven't been back.
How can we exploit this for money?
Actually, I've got it. I punched in that Chandrayaan program into Wikipedia. So they've got the objectives listed here. One, get a lander to safely land and softly on the moon's surface, observing and demonstrating the rover's driving capabilities on the moon, conducting and observing experiments on the materials available on the lunar surface to better understand composition of the moon. So yeah, it's
an ice looking for mission.
Yep, they're looking for ice. Well, as well as other minerals. So they're going to be examining the minerals, but half of the mission was just to see if they could land a thing and drive around. Well, 2/3, according to their objective list on Wikipedia. So,
cool. Hopefully they have polar ice.
Yeah. Last weekend, I actually went to a conference. So now RU's going to be scouring all the videos from that conference to see if he can catch me in it. And probably, because I know I walked in front of a couple of cameras. There were a ton of YouTubers there. Anyways, one of the talks I went to, they talked about the current lunar missions, and it's just like, oh shit, we're going back to the moon? I didn't know that, or I didn't remember that, might be more accurate, because I'm sure somebody's mentioned it at some point in the channel, but yeah, they were talking about it, and that kind of got me looking at it again, and then this Indian thing is like, that's awesome, because if they've got a model of how to do it cheaper, I just hope they're open sourcing some of how they do that to procedures, process, and stuff like that, so that hey, let's keep that going, so that we can keep getting the cost of lunar shit down and space shit in general. Because right now, if you're not a government, getting into space doesn't seem very plausible. And how else are we going to reach our future state where people have colonized Arrakis and are riding giant worms around if we haven't, gotten into space? I don't expect it to be Starfleet because, let's be honest, humans are never going to behave like they do on Star Trek. Maybe Deep Space Nine, but not the Federation, no.
It depends on how many drugs they legalize in the next couple hundred years.
Yeah, it won't help. We're going Warhammer 40K. The Emperor of Mankind will exist.
Oh, and depending on how the next election goes, it could be Trump. Oh, Lord. Anyways, I don't have anything else on that. I do think it's cool, though.
Yeah, anything cutting costs and getting people into space. I wanted to see space mining. That'll be the next really cool thing. We sent this rover to whatever asteroid and just mined enough lithium to make batteries for years.
Well, they have that program where people can launch amateur satellites, right? Wonder how hard it would be to 3D print a functioning space core from Portal. Because basically it'd be a 3D printed housing that plays sound clips, right? Just to fuck with an astronaut who finds it.
Ooh, baby, me love you long time, playing in space.
Well, no, because... Okay, you haven't played Portal 2.
Space.
I used to have that on the soundboard. The guy screaming space, but you couldn't really understand what he was saying if you didn't know the gag. So, anyways. Any other thoughts on that, or move on?
Let's move on.
All right. Yeah. Next article is from Business Insider. Scientists find more than 1,000 AI spam bots trying to scam people and steal their social media profiles. Regulators can't keep... Since when have regulators ever kept up? I mean, seriously.
There's no reason for them to exist until there's something for them to regulate. The mere nature of their job requires them to be behind.
Yeah, so this whole, regulators can't keep up. Since when have they ever, Every law they've passed to try to regulate computer technology or the internet has been bad. I mean, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, anybody? It's like, should we respect copyright? Yeah, probably. Could they find a much better way to do it? Oh, hell yeah. Outlawing any technology that could be used to subvert copyright controls. Get fucked. Anyways, so the actual article here. People keep finding new uses for ChatGPT. One of the latest is flooding social media with spam bots and AI-generated content that could further degrade the quality of information on the internet. Is anybody surprised? I think we've all predicted that.
Yep.
I mean, the normies.
Fair point. A new study shared last month by researchers at Indiana University's Observatory on Social Media. Observatory on Social Media. It's not a giant fucking telescope. Why would you use that word? Details how malicious actors are taking advantage of OpenAI's chatbot ChatGPT, which became the fastest-growing consumer AI application ever this February. The research, conducted by Kai Chen Yang, a computational social science researcher. That's a business card right there. Computational social science researcher.
Well, we used to call those statisticians.
Yeah, and bold of you to assume that an AI didn't write this entire article for him.
I assume nothing. So if I start sounding like ChatGPT, just, you know, let me know. We'll figure it out here. I'm just reading the fucking thing. I'm pulling a Ron Swanson. I don't actually know what's in this. I'm just, you know, and go fuck yourself, San Diego. Let's see. Filippo Mincer, a computer science professor, found that ChatGPT's ability to generate authoritative-looking text is being used to run botnets on X, formerly Twitter. Good God, why that name is the...
Just keep calling it Twitter. Don't give in.
Well, I mean, you know, they want to rename their company. Fine, it's just confusing.
Stop sucking at it.
Yeah, botnets are networks of hundreds of harmful bots and spam campaigns. Okay, that's kind of on social media. Oversimplification that can go undetected by current anti-spam filters. They're deployed for many reasons. In this case, the botnets are promoting fraudulent cryptocurrencies and NFTs. Okay, if you're still investing in NFTs at this point,
you deserve to have your money stolen.
Yeah, kind of. You know, it's sort of like trading on margin or buying timeshares. Guess what?
I just want, is there a non-fraudulent FT whatever?
NFTs? Non-fraudulent?
Yeah, I think they're all scams.
Every major use I've seen
of them. Buy my JPEG for $5,000.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a use for them that's not, if not an outright scam, insane speculation, like trading on margins and, you know, buying the Brooklyn Bridge kind of speculation, right? But it's an interesting technology in that you have a unique signature for a file tracked in a blockchain. So if you were making some sort of a video game, and you wanted the virtual assets to be trackable and unique in a blockchain so that it was actually auditable rather than just in the database of, you know, whatever system you're running, NFTs might be a good use for that. If you're tracking some sort of digital contract, an NFT might be a useful system for that. I've just never seen it implemented in that way that's actually useful or worth doing. Because
you
almost
treat it like a digital notary.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is immutable. You know, once you've signed something with an NFT, that signature is immutable inside of the blockchain with an owner, right? So if you want to be able to use
the and saving it,
I mean, if you it's still a digital file, but you actually have a record that can show ownership if it's an agreed upon ledger. The problem is that nobody's done an implementation of it that's any use. you know, the whole NFT trading thing, the whole, you know, what was it, Normal Apes or whatever it was called?
Bored Apes. Bored Apes.
Oh, okay, fine, whatever.
According to the memes.
I don't care. we all knew what I was referencing. It didn't matter that I was insulting them. You know, who am I pissing off? The scammers?
Yes.
Well, fuck them. But anyways, I've never seen an implementation of NFTs that's of any use because, oh, look, I'm able to upload this image and sign it with an NFT, and now I'm the owner of this image. But, you know, as you cleverly mentioned, right-click, save as, and who enforces it and who decides that a particular NFT blockchain is authoritative? So unless you've designed a system to use it and rely on it, it's just it's as much authoritative as setting up a WordPress site and writing "I own this" on it and then having a picture, you know? I mean, do you technically own the copyright on any photo you take? Sure, but if you post it to Facebook and don't ever pursue other people reposting it or using it for memes or whatever, so what? You know, it doesn't mean shit. And with NFTs, you're just kind of asking for people to abuse them. Again, good technology. I've just never seen an implementation of it that's worth a damn. But that's well, like the Logan Paul thing where you were supposed to be able to like hatch little zoo creatures and shit like that. That was all based on NFTs because they had different tokens and things like that that were supposed to represent your creatures and all this other stuff. The problem was there was no actual game there because it was all based on speculation that these creatures and the game would actually be worth something. So nobody was doing it because it's a fun game. They were doing it because they thought that they were going to make money at it. And of course,
yeah, they were selling the action figure before the cartoon was even created.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. So, like I said, If you come up with a use where you need an authoritative signature for something, like a notary, and you're willing to put it in a system that can check it and trust it as that is the authority on something, it's great technology for that. But I've never seen an implementation for it that actually is. Now, I just might not be aware of something. I know a couple of metaverses were trying to do that for your inventory, basically. The problem was when I was exploring that, everything was so absurdly expensive that it wasn't worth trying. It was either everybody running around with the free account and the default avatar, or people who had obviously put thousands of dollars into it, and great, you have a little billboard and a thing with like a couple hundred people running around, and you just paid thousands of dollars for that. Good luck, you know, good for you. I mean, it's all speculative, and because they've tied... Because they've tied NFTs to market speculation as opposed to any other use of the technology, anytime somebody implements it, that's always the selling point. Oh, buy it now. It'll be worth more later. You'll get rich. And, of course, the only people ever interested in it are speculators, nobody who's actually interested in whatever it is you've made. So it kind of kills itself every time. I mean, somebody call me if I'm wrong here. Call me on it if I'm wrong here. I don't. It's been my experience with them, anyways.
I'm thinking it's speculative because they're not attaching to anything that has actual use or value.
Pretty much. I mean, but all the games.
It's just going to be playing the biggest idiot.
Yeah, I mean, every game I've seen them attached to is bullshit and basically based on, you know, trying to hope that your tokens are going to be worth something as opposed to a fun game.
Oh. Don't use it for NFT to make money. Here's a method of preventing item duping in a game.
Exactly. It'd be a good use for that. It'd be a hell of a lot of CPU usage for that, but it would be a good use for that. If you had a network of games... So the only example I can think of here is a pretty bad one, but let's say you had a series of... What was the open source Second Life called? Hell, I used to set these things up, and I can't think what it's called now. OpenSim. Open Simulator. If you had a series of networks running Open Simulator grids, and you wanted a way to trust that anything that was owned in one of the, in, on your inventory in one was respected on your inventory in another one, so that you could like have your characters cross those networks, even though they weren't run by the same people and the network admins didn't necessarily trust each other, NFTs would be a really good way to do that. But again, nobody's doing it because computing the NFTs and doing the crypto work and tying everything to blockchains is just absurdly expensive computationally for, you know, other ways of doing a ledger. So, I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Botnets. That was.
And we're back.
Well, I mean, you know, I'd love to be called on it if I'm wrong there. I would love to be wrong there. Because, like I said, I think the technology is fascinating. I just have never actually seen a good use for it.
There's alleged practical applications. No one ever uses it like that.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I mean, Fox, I know you follow some of this stuff. Was I wrong on any of that?
Not really. I mean, I vaguely follow NFTs just to laugh at people doing dumb shit with too much money, which they could be giving to me so I could buy more scotch.
And NFTs?
Shut up.
Of scotch?
Yes. It's like the little sticker you get on the bottles of I forgot, I think it's Laphroaig, where you get like a 1-inch by 1-inch square on their distillery land.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of the same thing, you know. Buy into this, doesn't really get you anything, but you can say you own it, even though you may or may not actually own it.
Oh, I mean, you're talking about the Scottish titles thing. Laphroaig is surely not.
No. It's not a title, but it's like in their on their land, they sell like these 1-inch by 1-inch squares of land. Then you send in the card that comes with the bottle, and you can claim a square plot of land. And if you come to their distillery, they'll show you where it is on the map, and you can go stand on your 1-foot square of land or something. Like naming stars after people is totally bullshit. But.
Yeah, they'll totally respect that when we're exploring the universe in a couple hundred years.
So. Mm-hmm. I know there was one guy that tried to send a rent notice to NASA because they landed a probe on the moon somewhere that he claims to have purchased at some point. I'm gonna guess that didn't go anywhere.
So I've done the stellar cartography to figure out where the moon was and what part of it was directly over my land and was in my airspace when I bought my house. Therefore, because technically,
actually,
I don't think there's an upper limit on how high you go from your plot when you buy land, is there?
Yes. You only own a few hundred feet and then it becomes the government's property again. While we have air travel, they've solved that after the Wright brothers started flying.
No, it's they have a right of way or whatever it's called, like a utility easement. They have an easement to use your airspace above a certain height, but you still technically
rent
own
free.
It.
All right, if you're not allowed to kick them out, you can't charge them rent. Do you own it?
Well, considering how long they're actually in your airspace when they fly over.
We'll use the, what was that, hovering drone mesh net for internet that Elon was playing with for a bit?
Yeah, okay.
Or, okay, I bought one of the houses in the U.S. that happens to be under a GPS satellite. There are a few hundred of them.
There was one that was like that. The address of that house was some kind of a default location in GPS. So every time a package fucked up, it would end up at their house for a while. They finally apparently got it fixed. But yeah, we did that story a while back. I remember that because it was a mistaken GPS basically, or not. Maybe it wasn't GPS. It was one of the package routing things. But yeah, everything was landing at this person's house because they were some kind of default address in there. So, anyways, back to the article. The bot accounts attempt to convince people to invest in fake cryptocurrencies and may even steal their existing crypto wallets. The network Yang and Mincer discovered on X housed over 1,000 active bots. I'm pretty sure those are scrub numbers, but okay. The bots followed and responded to each other's posts with ChatGPT outputs, often publishing selfies stolen from human profiles to build fake personas. Yeah, there's just not that many hot girls willing to, you know, talk to you on the internet, I'm afraid.
But you lie.
The hot singles in my area. I mean, I know I've got a mirror and everything, but still.
You know, 6 out of 10. I'll let that joke go. That was. The rise of social media gave bad actors a cheap way to... Okay, you know what? Screw all the editorial here. Where's the bullet points? Research by Indiana University academics detail how bot actors are taking advantage of AI. The study found over 1,000 bots promoting scams on X. Experts say AI-generated content will further degrade online information if left unchecked. That's the point of the story. They're saying we can still detect it for now, but it's dead internet theory where you have nothing but bots talking to bots trying to convince somebody that, hey, you should invest in, this penny stock. I mean, this NFT. I mean, this cryptocurrency. Because, you see 30 accounts you don't know, but all look like they're real accounts talking about it. So, I don't know. Is there anything else to say on that? We've kind of, been all over the place on that one.
I don't know. I think one way of fixing that, and this is the dick moving me, coming out on social media, have verified IDs.
Some want to. I know Facebook was talking about that at one point. I think that's the whole verified program on X is now, where it used to be the Twitter thing where you just kind of had to, I guess own the right pair of knee pads or know somebody or whatever to get verified on Twitter. Now it's, you can just pay for it, and they do some verification things. But even that, fake IDs have been a thing. Mm-hmm. Madman, I know you still have a few left over from when you were in high school.
I don't know what you're talking about. But the way you would solve that is the way we're doing verification is linking it to one of your checking accounts.
Well, that's kind of what X is doing, charging for it.
Yeah. So. You run a penny transaction, we verified it's you, and I do know that that's just going to mean these scammers, when they pop a checking account, they're going to try to spin up fakes that way. But then when Bob gets a notice that, hey, Bob, you're registered 6 times.
Just means they'll run them through, what's the website, like privacy.com, where you can spin up all the fake credit cards or one-time use cards. You'll just see sites like that being used to spin up. But it puts a cost on it, at least, which would... help deter, I guess.
Away.
And I think it wouldn't hurt the sections of the internet that I like, because I do believe if BBS has ever came back, they're self-selecting. And a lot of hobby sites, you're already only on a car site if you're into cars and talking about cars.
Well, you mentioned the BBS. I guess I'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit. I am looking at setting up a BBS for Galaxy 15. Just a little place to post messages, play some games, things like that. I've got a test instance of it spun up in my home server. I'm working on it off and on. I haven't had that much time to work on it, really. I had replays of Portal to get to, and other things I was doing, but I do actually intend on getting up a BBS for Galaxy 15 at some point. Actually, what's stopping me at the moment is I need to figure out some configuration items, because I don't want it to be Telnet. I want to use SSH, and that's apparently a little more complex to set up with the software I'm using, so I need to figure that out. It does support it, it's just I haven't figured out how to hook it all up yet, and then it'll be figuring out a client to recommend, because it's like, it's got a WebSocket client you could put on there. No, I'm not just putting it on the website. Because like you said, Madman, I want it to be self-selecting. I want you to have to work a little bit. I want you to have to go get a client, connect to the server, register on the server, as opposed to, you know, just being able to click into it on a website, because I want it to be a little filtered. I want it to be kind of a pain in the butt to get into it first, specifically to keep things like bots out. One, I doubt anybody's going to write a bot to, you know, actually get into a BBS, register an account, and post ads. But two, by not having it available on a website, I prevent bots from discovering it. So, and if anybody's curious, the software I'm looking at is Enigma. I'm looking at right now is Enigma BBS. The other thing I got to do is I got to write all the screens, right? So, I think the first screen is just going to be a big warning that, you know, this is not a trusted system. Don't expect it to be anything you post to be here tomorrow. Don't post anything you care about here. Don't you reuse a password here. Just all the stuff that you should take for granted, but apparently nobody does. So, it's like, you know, in short, don't be stupid. If something, you know, I'm not going to guarantee the security of this system, so if it gets popped and you lose something sensitive, yes, sucks to be you. So I think that's going to be the landing page. It's just a big-ass warning that don't trust this system.
I see. It sounds like some of those, like, nuclear warning, basically, there is nothing of honor here.
Nuclear warhead Naveen. Approaching.
This is not a place of honor. What is here is dangerous and repulsive to us.
Was one microphone fucking up?
No, you can't do it.
No, you sure. Played a sound bite, but...
Well, I Fox, you threw the code word for bad microphone etiquette in the chat.
No, he's talking about keeping people out.
Yes. Are you got the joke. Yeah.
I
went there first, and then I had to do a little math in my head what it was about, and then I realized, oh... It's about keeping
bots out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also gave you the STL file for Wheatley.
Oh, you did send me that. Yeah, that's that actually looks like a pain in the dick to print.
I believe in you.
Oh, I can get it printed. I'm not worried about getting it printed. I've got a machine that'll do it. Cleaning the support material out, however, that might. Because that's a it looks like the model was oh no they said they didn't I was going to say it looked like the model was ripped straight out of the game and then tweaked, but they said they just made it. So I mean, well, you know, if you flipped it sideways and printed it on its side, it might print. I don't know. I'll have to think about that, because I'm just looking at it. It's like, man, that looks like it's going to be an absolute pain to get printed. But flipping it sideways, it actually wouldn't be that bad. I don't know. I'll think about that. Next article?
Next article.
Next article is from Ars Technica. A newly discovered zero-day in the widely used WinRAR file compression program has been exploited for 4 months by unknown attackers who are using it to install malware on targets, opening booby-trapped JPEGs and other innocuous files inside archives. The vulnerability, residing in the way WinRAR processes the zip file format, has been under active exploit since April in securities trading forums, researchers from security group IB reported Wednesday. The attackers have been using the vulnerability to remotely execute code that installs malware from families including DarkMe, GU Loader, and Rimkmos Rat. There are from there, the criminals withdraw money from broker accounts. The total amount of financial losses and total number of victims infected is unknown, although Group IB said it has tracked at least 130 individuals known to be compromised. WinRAR developers fixed a vulnerability tracked as CVE-2023-38831 earlier this month. So they're targeting brokers with this to get into accounts. This is straight up, you know, old school stealing bank accounts by targeting brokers. The real question is, why the fuck are you guys still running WinRAR? 7-Zip has been free for how long?
It's the principle of the thing.
Well, if it was the principal of the thing, wouldn't you have bought a license to WinZip by now?
I haven't won the lottery. If I win the lottery, there's going to be signs. One of them's going to be a framed copy of the WinRAR license.
Framed copy of the WinRAR license.
You sure you don't mean the WinZip license, just so you can make like the three people who still work there's day?
I probably do mean WinZip.
You see, that was the one everyone abused although I think WinRAR did the same thing, where you could just use it for free forever. It's just, you know, you had to click past the please buy me option. But yeah, I thought everyone had swapped over to 7-Zip by now. You know, the whole open source and free thing. Well, Windows has zip files as a, you know, built in for past couple of versions at least. Oh, well. Quote, by exploiting a vulnerability within this program, threat actors were able to craft zip archives that serve as carriers for various malware families group, unquote. Group IB malware analyst Andriy Pavolkin wrote, quote, weaponized zip archives were distributed on trading forums. Once extracted and executed, the malware allowed threat actors to withdraw money from broker accounts. This vulnerability has been exploited since April of 2023, unquote. While Group IB hasn't detected the vulnerability being exploited in other settings or installing other malware families, it wouldn't be surprising if that's the case. In 2019, a similar WinRAR vulnerability tracked as CVE-2018-2250 came under active attack within weeks of becoming public. It was being used in no fewer than 5 separate campaigns by separate threat actors. WinRAR has more than 500 million users who rely on the program to compress large files to make them more manageable and quicker to upload and download. It's not uncommon for people to immediately decompress the resulting zip files without inspecting them first. Even when people attempt to examine them for malice, antivirus software also often has trouble peering into compressed data to identify malicious code. Malicious zip archives Group IB found were posted on public forums used by traders to swap information and discuss topics related to cryptocurrencies and other securities. In most cases, the malicious zips were attached to forum posts. In other cases, they were distributed on the file storage site catbox.mo. Group IB identified 8 popular trading forums used to spread the files. Okay, just for point of reference, if you're going to download anything from catbox.mo, check it in a VM first. Seriously? Mm-hmm. I mean,
I like downloading things directly off of LimeWire and just running them.
I don't know. Anything named after a litter box, I think you should have trust issues with.
LimeWire. Fox, you know how to just stab somebody right in there and twist, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not illegal in my country.
Yeah, that takes me back. LimeWire, FrostWire, SoulSeek, and the original Napster. I hid a fucking zip drive in my backpack and ran Napster on a floppy disk from school computers. Because we cracked the program they used to secure it called Fortress in high school. I actually built a machine just for cracking that password. We cloned the school's image on floppy disks. That took a bit. But, we started using zip drives because that helped. But cloned the school's image onto an old machine I had, loaded Fortress, and were able to use that with a decryptor to get the password. And so they would change the password, and the next day we would have it, and, you know, we'd give the password to a few trusted individuals so we could play Quake 2 on the school's network or run Napster or do a few other things on their T1 line. And unfortunately, one of those individuals would then give the password to other people and would eventually give it to Catfucker, and Catfucker would change the wallpaper on his lab machine to hardcore pornography, and the little formerly homeschooled Christian girl who would sit at his desk in the next period would complain that the background involved women and horses. And then the password would get changed again. So about a 2-month cycle, basically, for the password getting changed. And we would ask Adam not to give Catfucker the password. And he would occasionally try to comply with that, but eventually he'd want to get Catfucker in the Quake games, and about a day later, the password would have to get changed again, so...
So the same reason you're making your BBS difficult to get into.
I don't think it's difficult. I think it's just an extra step rather than clicking a link on a website.
For some people, that is considered difficult.
Well, for some people, they need to pull their head out of their ass and learn to use the equipment they have in front of them for things other than Facebook and YouTube and porn.
Hence the joke I posted earlier, and apparently Catfucker.
It's an accurate name.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. At a roller rink.
Oh, no.
Madman can confirm.
I'm at a scotch. I mean... Fuck.
The cat never walked the same again, and I think died shortly thereafter.
God damn it. Next story.
Nothing else on WinRAR being abused. Update WinRAR, people. If you're
or
using
U7-Zip.
Or U7-Zip. I don't think anybody's had problems with 7-Zip in a long time. Next article is from Business Insider, again. Let's see. AI-generated art cannot be copyrighted. Federal judge rules with potential consequences for Hollywood studios. Whoopsie doodle. This one's fairly short. Let's see here. A federal judge ruled that a piece of art generated by AI cannot be copyrighted, a decision that could have consequences for Hollywood studios. The lawsuit, first reported by The Hollywood Reporter, was brought against the U.S. Copyright Office by plaintiff Stephen Thaler in an attempt to list his own AI systems as the sole creator of an artwork called A Recent Entrance to Paradise. Thaler had previously filed other lawsuits related to AI inventions, such as listing his AI machine as the inventor in a patent application. In Friday's ruling, U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell upheld the Copyright Office's decision to reject Thaler's copyright application. She said humans are, quote, an essential part of a valid copyright claim, unquote, and, quote, human authorship is a bedrock requirement for copyright, unquote. I like this. I think this is the right way to do it. If a human didn't make it, you can't copyright it, because otherwise it's just machine output, and machine output is not artistic. It's not creative. It's machine output.
Okay. Devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
Car manufacturers.
What about car manufacturers?
A human didn't make the car. That is 90% assembly line made by robots.
But did they're a human
also not
design
copywriting
the car?
Cars.
Their designs are copywritten.
Did the human...
But you see, like, any of the...
Did the human design the car?
Hmm.
And the answer is yes. Now, did they use CAD with assistance for material properties and the flow dynamics and all the other, you know, fancy shit in the
I can just see where someone...
Yes.
I'm just seeing where someone gets shitty about this and lawyerese and...
Yeah, no, I mean, but ultimately a human designed it. You know... Now, did they use a lot of machine assistance to do it? Sure. And that's fine. I'm not saying that just because you made it on a computer doesn't mean you don't get to copyright it. But if the computer made it, you know, if I typed in field of flowers with a puppy sitting in it, and it makes me a pretty picture with a field of flowers and a puppy sitting in the middle of it, I don't get to copyright that and say I'm an artist. No, the computer just made a thing because I told it to. It's like, you're going to go copyright the output of a fractal generator? Or Conway's Game of Life?
Yes.
It's the same damn thing. So, I like the idea that human authorship is a bedrock requirement of copyright. I think that's a good way to go. Quote, I'm open to argument on that, Fox. I'm not, I know you're just playing devil's advocate there, but I'm not saying I'm not open to argument. I just, right now, to me, that seems like the right way to do it.
This is going to stab some of Disney's plans in the ass.
That's
not that they're using it to, you know, generate scripts, but they were wanting to use AI images of actors, namely Gina Carano, after she said, fuck you, I'm not going to be starring in any more Star Wars stuff. And they were going to try to use her image. But if you can't copyright something generated by AI, they can't copyright an AI-generated image of her.
Well, is that an AI-generated image, or is it a scan of her face?
She wasn't complying with another scan, so if they were going to go forward with trying to do an AI composite.
See, now that raises the question of where the line is. Because if they're using a 3D scan, that's kind of like a photograph. And photographs are copyrightable. But
to be fair, like there is a follow-up article that actually says Hollywood's AI plans won't be thwarted by the new copyright ruling that protects human authorship.
Okay.
Put the link at you.
Okay. Well, let's finish this one out because there's only a little bit left. Plaintiff can point to no case in which a court has recognized copyright in a work originated with a non-human, unquote, Howell added. The judge also cited the famous monkey selfie case in which photographer David Slatter was sued for claiming copyright on an image that a crested, it's a monkey, I forget, I don't know how to say that word, took with Slater's camera. The court found that non-humans don't have any legal authority for copyright claims. However, Howell also suggested that future cases could become more complex and, quote, will prompt challenging questions regarding how much human input is necessary to qualify the user of an AI system as an author of a generated work, unquote. Well, if we get to the point where that matters, copyright won't matter. Because, okay, I don't own the copyright to Pink Floyd, but I'll be able to tell the AI system, I want music like Pink Floyd. Play music like Pink Floyd, and it will just generate something that almost sounds like Roger Waters screaming about dementia. It wasn't dementia. What was it? What was the wall about?
Oh, schizophrenia.
Thank you. I realized I said the wrong mental illness. Yeah, schizophrenia. That's what I meant. I said the wrong one. My bad. that's why we need the AI, so you don't have somebody mess up and say the wrong mental illness. The ruling could still provoke apprehension among Hollywood studios in relation to the contract dispute with striking actors and writers. AI's key issues the strike amid concerns that technology could be used to write screenplays or reproduce an actor's likeness. If a studio can't gain copyright protections over any work produced by AI, that could temper such ambitions. So, and then let's see what Fox is... Oh, okay, the read next. Yeah, so the link there directly after that. AI has been contentious, and the copyright strike judge ruled AI couldn't be the sole author of an artistic work, but that's not what the studios want. Let's see, the ruling came from lawsuit, the judge. This is all rehash of what I just read. The problem wasn't that AI was involved in the creation, but rather that there was no human directing it. Howell added that the copyright law was designed to adapt to the times, noting cases when human activity is channeled through new tools or new media. She also said new cases would likely, quote, prompt challenging questions regarding how much human input is necessary to qualify. Okay, so basically they didn't draw the line of how much AI is too much. They just said if it's completely AI, you can't copyright it. That makes sense, because of course a court's not going to answer that if they don't have to. Because... you know, why would you? Let's see. We're going to skip the Zoom story. I don't want to skip the Firefox story. I want to do the Netflix story. Do we have anything else on this before we jump to the last couple of stories? Because I just saw the clock.
We're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Next story is from Gizmodo. This is the last story. Last story is from Gizmodo. Netflix is letting subscribers keep their final shipments of DVDs. I mean, I could read the article, but I don't know that there's really anything to add to that.
They're going to stop doing DVDs by mail?
They're going to stop doing DVDs by mail, and when the service ends, if you've kept your DVDs, they don't care.
Fuck, I almost want to sign up for the DVD thing of Netflix again, but then I don't have a DVD player on my computer or TV anymore, because 2023...
Yeah, you know, the offer.
Am I just too not moving forward? Because I have DVD players in both.
You just get a lot of use out of your hardware, Medbin. The offer is only available to customers in the U.S. who will have until August 29th, so you got a week, to sign up for extra DVDs on its DVD.com website. However, the company said in a separate Twitter post that it isn't guaranteed the subscriber will be selected to receive the 10 discs, but added it's still worth giving it a shot. So, in April, Netflix confirmed it will be shutting down its DVD mail order option, telling customers in a Twitter post last week they will receive up to 10 random discs in their final shipment. So, what Netflix is doing here is actually brilliant, because it looks like they're just giving away all these discs. What they're really doing is clearing out their warehouse so they don't have to store it or pay for disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them kudos for brilliant marketing.
It is, yeah. I mean, that actually might be a better marketing campaign if, like, even if your streaming Netflix thing came up with a little thing of, like, hey, select 10 movies, and first come, first serve, we'll send you the DVD copy of it. Because, like, I know a lot of people dropped their getting physical media when they went to their streaming service.
But one way around the whole... streaming services gobbling back up their especially old content. Mm-hmm. Like when Disney Plus launched, they didn't pull content, but they stopped renewing a lot of the license agreements. So you're like, you can stream, I don't know, The Rescuers until 2025, and then 2025 rolled around and they just didn't renew it. Well, we'll roll around. I chose a date in the future for some stupid reason. But you could still get those movies shipped to you through Netflix on DVD.
Mm.
So if you didn't want to have multiple streaming services, like, I don't want to pay for HBO Max. I don't mind watching Game of Thrones a season behind. You get the DVDs from Netflix a season behind. That's going to be dead if Netflix stops doing their DVDs.
Well, and admittedly, DVDs are a hell of a lot easier to rip than Netflix streams.
I guess I'll just have to start going to my library more often.
Yeah, they're still going to have DVDs for a while. And you've already backed up like half of Netflix, didn't you, Madman?
Oh, I stopped that endeavor a while ago.
Ah. All right, let's do this. I hit the button. What the hell? This article is from ghacks.net. One of the main arguments brought forth for the switching for the web extension system for browser extensions was that it made cross-browser extensions easier. Firefox users may now reap the benefits of this promise, as Mozilla has implemented functionality in the browser to import extensions from other browsers. And the feature, which is in testing at the moment, can be enabled by all users on the latest stable version of Firefox. You go to About Config, you confirm that you'll be careful, you search for Browser Migrate Chrome Extensions Enabled, you set the feature to True, you then restart it, and you can now import extensions from Chrome. So, yeah, you go to About Preferences General in the address bar to activate the import data, select Chrome from the list, and select what you want, and that will include extensions. So, this is still being tested. It's in beta, but they tested uBlock Origin, LastPass, AdGuard, AdBlock, Ghostery, or Bitdefender, and Traffic Light, and those are all supported. They all worked. But, yeah, Firefox is adding compatibility with Chrome's extensions. So if one of the reasons you're not using Firefox is because you need extensions out of Chrome, try this and see if your Chrome extensions work. And it's probably going to get better especially when they enable it for real. Because right now you still have to go dig through the About Config and enable it. But that's cool, because a lot of people get real dependent on these browser extensions. That Fix Audio one is really handy. So, that's, of course, all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site. And What did I put in here? Project Enigma when it's ready. That's the Enigma BBS. When we get the BBS ready, that'll be a good place if you want to send us messages. Or Trade Wars has already been requested, so we'll eventually figure that out. And Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, no. Kind of somewhat slightly linked to the Netflix story.
Uh-huh.
I think there could be an end to the streaming wars fairly soon. And the reason I say that is Warner Brothers has indicated that they're willing to make content for other streaming services specifically for those streaming services. It came up in a Babylon 5 article I was reading about.
In other words, they're willing to make content if Netflix funds it. That's great. Yeah.
We'll do it for money.
Wait, what is this guy paying me with? Fox, closing thoughts.
Well, hopefully your BBS upon your big debut of it doesn't blue screen like another application while you're up on stage giving the presentation. But yeah, looks like it'll be interesting.
I don't expect it to blue screen, mainly because it'll be running on Linux, so it'll just be a kernel seg fault. That's why I'm doing some testing before I load it on the real box, because I want to make sure I got it locked down appropriately and all that fun crap. Are you closing thoughts?
I have nothing this week.
Ah, Fox, me. I see. I see somebody was paying attention to the date I picked. I think that's all I got.
Play them sounds.
Playing sounds.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Act with aggression.
Do not run! Freeze! Do not run! There is no issue here!
He's going to rape you. Repeatedly.
No!